This audio presentation is the teaching of John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled No Greater Love, was delivered on May 26th, 2019. Here now is John Brown.
Announcements, and I had Rich with me, is that he's giving the sermon. As I said last month, my husband is very talented. And when people ask him to do things, he says yes. So I'm going to introduce my husband, John Brown, who's giving today's sermon. Thank you.
Good morning. I have to tell you when Pastor Scott got up last week and said he was reluctant or felt not sufficient to speak to Police Week and first responders, I had to smile because I knew exactly what he was talking about. That's exactly what I think today when I stand up here in front of you and I talk to you about this this event that we're pausing to observe this week, a Memorial Day, because I never wore a uniform apart from my Catholic school uniform, but I don't really feel worthy, but I am willing to offer what I can on this occasion. I noted in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for his friends. I know Captain Brisky quoted that same scripture last week, and it resonates for both our first responders, of whom we lost another this week, and for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, who have lost their lives in defense of our country. The event that we call Memorial Day was actually initiated back about 3 years into the Civil War. Civil War cost the lives of 750,000 Americans. Everyone who died in that war was an American. Arlington National Cemetery was actually the home of Robert E. Lee. And when he chose to cast his lot with the Army of Northern Virginia, not with the Union Army that he had been serving in the past, they confiscated his property. And when the graveyards filled in Washington, D.C. metro area, the Army decided that they would turn that estate into a military cemetery. And that's what they did in 1864. A few years after the war was over, of course, 750,000 dead, North and South, there was an awful lot of sorrow and a lot of raw wounds in families across the country. And the powers that be in authority, our politicians and leaders, saw people coming into the cemeteries and putting flowers on the graves. And they thought that was a tremendous idea. But they codified it, and they called it Decoration Day in 1868, when the first time they did it officially. And we've carried that tradition on ever since, something that we do here in America, or in the United States. But it's not something that just we do. It's something that was done throughout the Bible. There's many, many things worthy of remembrance. In fact, every month, first Sunday, we do something that is an act of remembrance. We have communion, because that's what Jesus said. Luke 22:19, it's in your bulletin. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." So once again, he wanted that act to be remembered, because our redemption is eternal, as Amy said. So I want to acknowledge the importance of remembrance, not just in Jesus' sacrifice, another example of no greater love, but also in other events throughout the Bible. You saw the Israelites marking particular locations or events. Joshua 4:4-7. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. And again in Exodus, when Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded, when he was speaking about the Ark of the Covenant, let an omerful of the manna be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So there's a lot of events like this, a lot of markers that were placed in the Bible, because these are things worth remembering, like the sacrifice of our warriors and their expressions of perfect love, or what Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion. Our remembrance keeps people and events alive in our hearts. I remember the first time I caught this, I'll call it a thought. It was a silly movie with Al Pacino, Stand Up Guys, I think it was. And Al Pacino did a really poor job of expressing the idea behind this. But it caught my interest, and I went and Googled it and tried to find out where the origin of this statement was. And the earliest reference I could find was noted also in your bulletin, was from a book called Love's Executioner and Other Tales of Psychotherapy by Irvin Yalom. And he said, someday soon, perhaps in 40 years, there will be no one alive who has ever known me. That's when I will truly be dead, when I exist in no one's memory. I thought a lot about how someone very old is the last living individual to have known some person or cluster of people. When that person dies, the whole cluster dies too, vanishes from the living memory. I wonder who that person will be for me, whose death will make me truly dead. And it's a pretty profound thought. I lost my dad. The gangly gentleman on the left is my father. And that gentleman to the right, I like to think that's his friend Jack. I don't know that that's his friend Jack, because I never asked my dad who that guy is. But they were fighter pilots, and his friend Jack never came home. And it affected my dad. He lost his good friend, and he told me the story. I won't share it with you beyond saying that he didn't come home. But I knew it was important to my dad. When I lost my dad, I was going through all his books and his films and his pictures and things like that, and I realized how many years I wasted protecting myself from what my dad might think of me, you know? And I never really had those conversations with him about things that were important to him and to his, you know, his family, his experiences in the Second World War. Now, most warriors don't want to go home and tell their children about war. It's not a fun topic. They would like to protect their children from such things, but I think sometimes it's worth prying a few nuggets loose, at least when it comes to what they've learned. And I missed that opportunity. But anyway, now that I've shared Jake and Jack with you, they'll live on for another generation at least, because you know of them. But I'd like to encourage you. I know we ran across a line in one of the Lord of the Rings movies that Amy and I both turned our head when we heard the line. It was, history became legend, and legend became myth. And what it's basically saying is that real factual things can fade into some fantasy story if it's not preserved. If no one takes the time to remember the important things. And there's a cost to not remembering the important things. My regrets are a cost of my not seeking the wisdom available to me when my father was alive. Also, one of the scriptures makes the point very well. Judges 2:8, when Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. That's a sad thought. And we see it so many times in the Bible, and I'm sure most of us feel like, how could they possibly not cherish that memory? But it's so easy to let those things slip away. And I'm wondering whether maybe there's a Joshua in your family that is worth tapping for some wisdom. Now, Captain Brisky last week encouraged us to get involved in our community. So I want to try and leave you with a thought as we celebrate, I won't say celebrate, as we pause to reflect and remember on this Memorial Day weekend and honor those who died in service of our country. I want to encourage you to maybe take advantage of the family gatherings to ask your parents and teach your children things that are important. Not like Game of Thrones, what was on last night, or, you know, really engage in a conversation that has some meaning. Because we're beset with so much noise. I mean, just the Memorial Day weekend alone, you'd think it was a furniture sale or a car sale or a clothing sale, because it's been so co-opted by our commercial culture. But that doesn't make the wounds any less raw for those who have personally been experiencing a loss. So as we get together, picnic, maybe if it takes giving Dad another beer to get him to open up a little bit, that might be worth doing. Because I think that oftentimes there is a reluctance, certainly between fathers and sons, to discuss, you know, really important topics. So I want to encourage you to do it. Anytime I've asked to stand up here and share my thoughts, I try and leave you with a kind of an action item, and that's what I'm offering you today. So as we pause this weekend, and you join your countrymen in corporate remembrance, our collective remembrance of those warriors who lost their lives in service to the country and express no greater love by laying down their lives, take the time to reflect on what you would like your children to remember about your heritage, your customs, your traditions, how to make rolled sushi, you know, those things that are worth holding on to. And it's, you know, it's kind of sad sometimes in immigrant families when they try and tell their children to, you know, just speak English, don't speak your native tongue, because they lose something of that heritage. I understand the reasons that happens. And I'm certainly grateful that we are a melting pot here in this country and not a bunch of warring tribes. But take advantage of this opportunity. And probably lose something from those who can teach you. Maybe reach down deep in your experience and share something that's not perhaps easy to share, but is important to share with your children. So I want to pray for those who did lose their lives, although when the Bible says there is no greater love than one who lays down his life for his friends, and it also says God is love. I feel that God is caring for those who made that sacrifice. But I'd like to pray for us that we would have the ability to open up and focus on issues that are important in our community and in our families. I pray, God, that you will care for and comfort the families who have lost people who have laid down their lives. Their wounds are raw, their pain is real, and your comfort is important to them and important to us. I ask you to move in our community and in our families and to help us to remember what is worthy of remembrance. Father, we're so grateful that your Son, Jesus Christ, laid down his life that we might live not only in this life, but for eternity. We thank you for that wonderful gift. This Memorial Day, we pause to thank everyone who sacrificed on our behalf, those of us who were fortunate enough not to be touched directly by such loss. We grieve perhaps a little less, but we grieve still. We thank you, God, and we ask your blessing on our families, on our communities, on our country, this Memorial Day weekend, when we choose to focus on what's important and keep it alive for another generation. Amen.
Thank you, John. I'd like to share something. This Friday, I got the honor to attend my wife's grandpa's funeral, and he was a Marine, and a couple of Marines came down and they played taps and just had that feeling. It was I can't describe it, but then I watched the family. I was crying, the family was crying, and they was playing taps, and then Jesus spoke to me, and he said, you know, he did the same thing for us, and it was pretty, I can't describe, but it was sad, but then I felt proud to even get to know him, and I got to start, you know, honoring our veterans more, and I would go see him in the veterans' home, and when I walked through that door, I would see all of them. They were just in the area and just sitting in their wheelchair somewhere. And I would just walk right past them and I wouldn't say nothing. And it kind of made me feel bad. And from now on, like if you guys have a chance, you can go to the veterans home and just tell them, you know, thank you for your service. And from now on, like his wife is still there and I'm going to do that. And even my wife came up with the idea, like, all our family and our kids are going to go up there and just tell them thank you for their service, and they sacrificed a lot. All right. Okay, so we're going to do our last song. Everybody stand up and let's worship our God.
You've been listening to John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.